Good morning. It's good to see everybody. We're glad that you're here, although we know we have just a number who are sick and not able to be with us. We appreciate that you're present. We welcome our visitors this morning. We are glad that you're among us. We hope that you can come back and join us other times that you're able to do so. We meet at 6 o'clock tonight and on Wednesdays at 7, and you're invited to come and join us at all of those. If you have any questions of what we say and do, we solicit those from you. We're happy to receive them, to study God's Word with you, to open God's Bible and God's Word, the Bible, and allow Him to answer those questions for every one of us. So we invite you to follow along with us in God's Word as we study His will this morning. I changed my mind last night, or not yesterday afternoon, so I'm not preaching part one this morning. So you can just close your bulletin. I see you have it open. I appreciate that. You got you trained, right? No, but I decided to do something else this morning, and you'll know why in just a moment. I'll just begin this way. Have you ever received a phone call from someone who thought that they might be about to die? Have you ever made a phone call to someone because you thought you were about to die? Well, I got one of those calls yesterday morning. Emergency alert. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. My daughter called me. Dad, what should I do? I said, I gave some advice about that, found out what was all happening, and corresponded back with her about that, and it provided an opportunity down the way to also talk about spiritual things. But what would you do if this had been an actual emergency? What would you do? Now, you know, Hawaii, they don't have any fallout shelters for ballistic missiles. They said, take shelter. Well, what shelter? I heard one lady interviewed, said our neighbor was being kind of casual about it, and he said, well, where am I going to go? You know, if that ballistic missile were to in fact be coming to Hawaii, where are they going to go? Go inside? You ever seen any films of Hiroshima? Or, you know that's not going to help you. You're kind of exposed, aren't you? Pretty exposed. Well, so what would you do? Where would you go? Would you call somebody and say, what should I do? Would you call somebody else and say, come do what I'm doing? What would you do? It was real. People for about 38 minutes yesterday in Hawaii thought a ballistic missile was headed for them. There's a lot of panic, it sounds like. A lot of scared people. Would you be ready if that were to be Seattle? You know? Something hit Seattle area. Yeah, we might not be killed, but we'd be affected. But of course, you know, don't you, that we're not going to spend our time talking about ballistic missiles here this morning. That's just an illustration. See, we have an early warning system for ballistic missiles and other cataclysmic events. If this had been an actual emergency, you would have been advised to turn to your local television station or radio station for further information and direction, so they say. You know, God gave a lot of early warnings to His people. Let me share a couple with you. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 10 and verse 8. God gave an early warning to Israel, the region of Samaria. They had turned to idolatry and wickedness. They had forsaken the true God in their lives, serving themselves and serving their own gods. And God warned them. He sent His prophets to them. They ignored them. They rejected. They refused the message, the early warning. And so now Hosea, God's prophet, comes to them and says, "As for Samaria, her king is cut off like a twig on the water. Also the high places of Aven, which is the high places of wickedness. The sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and thistle shall grow on their altars. They shall say to the mountains, 'Cover us,' and to the hills, 'Fall on us.'" They're going to seek shelter. They're going to cry out, "Let the mountains do us in." You reckon anybody ran to the caves of Hawaii? I don't know. I suppose there's some caves there. Seek shelter. But these people, he said, when God brought His destruction upon Samaria, they would plead for the mountains to fall on them. Oh boy, aren't we glad that's not going to happen to us? Let's go a little farther. You know, Jesus used these words when He was on His way to the cross. When Simon of Cyrene was bearing His cross in Luke 23, verses 28 through 31, the great multitude was following Him, and the women were mourning and lamenting Him as He plods toward Calvary. And He turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for Me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed.'" In other words, there are going to be days you're going to be glad you didn't have children. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? You see, Jesus said a day was coming to Jerusalem when they would, like Samaria long ago, like the northern kingdom of Israel, would plead for the mountains to fall upon them because of God's destruction, God's judgment, because of their sin. Jerusalem was decimated by the Roman army in AD 70. Upwards of 2 million people either killed and tens of thousands taken into captivity, into slavery. Oh yes. But they had early warning. But they killed the messengers. They killed the messengers and they killed the Savior who could have saved them. Well, I'm glad we don't have to face anything like that. We don't have to worry about anything like that. Go with me to Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Revelation 6, verses 15 and 16. The context in which God is, again with figures and symbols, announcing that there would be a day of judgment against the persecutors of His people. The persecutors of the Christians in the 1st and 2nd and 3rd century. God was going to level a judgment against those persecutors. The Roman Empire, if you please. He says in verse 15 of Revelation 6, "The kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" The wrath of the Lamb? Oh, I thought the Lamb was peaceful and loving. But He says there's wrath attached to the Lamb. And like Israel of old, and like Jerusalem in the days of Jesus, so those who persecuted God's people, shortly from the time that this was written, Revelation 1, 1, 2, and 3, had a judgment applied from God. Rome was destroyed. That empire is no more. God leveled the wrath of the Lamb. And they sought shelter. They sought relief. They sought protection. But there was none when God brought His judgment. Now you really think that you and I can escape the wrath of God? That you and I can escape His just punishment? We can deny it. We can ignore it. We can argue against it, but we will not escape it.
Amen.
The question is, will we believe it? Will we believe it? Look at the next verse. For the great day of wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Who is able to stand in the great day of the wrath of the Lamb of God? Some will stand, but it will not be those who rejected Him. It will not be those who ignore Him. It will not be those who disobey Him, who do not believe in Him. Who can stand? Israel couldn't. Her idols could not save her. Jerusalem could not. Rome could not. Nor shall anyone who turns their back upon the Lamb stand. Let's talk for a minute about the great day of His wrath. In 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 14. Now, you see, there's an early alert, an early alarm system. They say somebody pushed the wrong button yesterday. They were changing shifts and some button was pushed by mistake. And all that broke out. Miscommunication. False alarm. But what we're about to read is not a miscommunication. Listen to it. Listen to it. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blemish. There's the ones who will stand. Don't you see? Those who look for that day. Because it will be a day of redemption. It will be a day of deliverance. But it will be a day of wrath upon those who know not God and those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Look at it. Peter says, it will come without warning. As a thief in the night. That's an expression that says, it's going to come. The thief comes unexpectedly, suddenly, when you're not ready for him to come. That's why, at least Hawaii had 15, 20 minutes before they thought they were going to be blown up. We have early warning. There's not going to be any warning before it actually happens. Our warning's now. When it happens, you're not going to have 10 minutes, 10 seconds. It's going to be sudden, without warning. It's going to be cataclysmic. There is going to be complete devastation, complete annihilation, the removal of everything material. This world, the moon, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, the universe. Even God who spoke it into existence now with fire is going to remove it all. Do you believe it? We believe that a nuclear bomb, because we've seen the evidence, haven't we? A nuclear bomb can annihilate. Leave you as a vapor. You say, well, yeah, we've never seen the world burn up. No, but you know what? The world was destroyed with water. That was Peter's whole point earlier in that chapter. We have the very word of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, and His apostles and prophets telling us about this complete devastation, melt with fervent heat, dissolve everything that we see in an instant. That's more than hot. It's complete destruction. That's the day of God's wrath. It ought to prompt holiness and godliness in us. It ought to get our attention. I know one thing. It got people's attention in Hawaii yesterday when they thought a nuclear missile was headed for them. They just thought it was, but it wasn't. It got our attention at least for a little while. We ought to have our attention grabbed now and always, as long as we have breath in us. Because you can write it down. We can take it to the bank. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Not a nuclear missile. God Almighty. In His wrath. You say, oh no, God's a loving God. God would never do that. Do you believe the Bible is God's Word? Do you believe Jesus? Or do you want to argue against God? See, that's the thing. People want to argue against God. We want to argue against God. We want to somehow figure it out in our head that it's okay, that it's not going to happen. Not to us, but it's going to happen. Now, turn with me to Matthew 24, please. 36 through 44, a portion of what Caleb read for us today. This is a transitional part of this passage, and it talks about the nature of judgment. As he's been giving signs of the approaching destruction of Jerusalem, and Jesus talked about on his way to the cross, and he said that generation is not going to pass until all those things take place. And now in 36 and following, he begins to take up some of the nature of judgment, as he says, the day or hour of that day and hour, no one knows but the Father, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. First of all, what he says is, this is God's decision. When it comes to judgment, whether it was Israel in the days of Hosea, whether it was Jerusalem in AD 70, whether it was the Roman Empire, or whether it's the final great day of God's wrath, the day of His coming, that's God's decision. It's not going to be a nuclear missile from Kim Jong-il.
Rocket Man.
Little Rocket Man. Not going to be him. Not going to be Donald Trump. Not going to be... This day is not about... This final day of judgment, not about any of those things. It's about God. His authority will be executed. Verses 37 through 39, Jesus again tells us it's going to be unexpected. As in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. As the days they were of the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. That life was going on day by day. Just as it went yesterday, it was going today and expected to go tomorrow. Right up until the time that Noah entered the ark and God shut the door. And the rain started falling and the water started coming up from the deep and it took them all away. He says, so will also be the coming or the presence of the Son of Man. See, Jesus is coming in judgment. And it's going to be unexpected. It's going to be sudden. And there will not be escape. That's the point of 40 and 41. Two men, one taken, one left. You know, I know that's the point because of what he says next in verse 42. Because he says, watch and pray. Be prepared. Because it's going to be sudden. In Luke 17, 32 through 37, he uses this same language, because it's a parallel point, and he's making it about the judgment against Jerusalem in that text. And I think he well may be doing the same thing in Matthew 24. But in Luke 17, it's clearly about Jerusalem because of the 37th verse and those prior. But notice, in it, he said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She didn't believe God when God said, don't look back. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Now, People were scared yesterday in Hawaii. They wanted to do something to try to save their lives. What about saving their souls? What about saving our souls? What about saving your soul? Your soul. He says, I tell you, in that night there will be two men in a bed. One will be taking the other left. Two women grinding together, one taking the other left. Two men in the field, one taking one left. His point is about suddenness. Suddenly it's going to happen. And you're not going to walk away from it. No escape. That's the nature of God's judgment. So get ready. Matthew 24:42-44. Get ready. Watch, therefore. For you don't know the hour when your Lord's coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known the time that the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. You see the advertisements about Ring now, and these video doorbells, and you know, setting up the video, and somebody comes with the master, you know. They see somebody coming, they're watchful. We know He's coming. We know Jesus is going to come. Are we watching? Ready? Prepared? Or not? Get prepared. Get ready, He says. And stay ready. Verses 45-51. He says, stay ready. Watch. Who's a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his house to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So the servant that's going to be blessed, verse 47, he'll go on to say, I say to you, he'll make him ruler of all of his goods. The servant who does his master's will is going to receive blessing from the master. But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, I don't need to worry about Jesus coming back. Not now. Everything's been happening. I got plenty of time. I'll think about being a Christian later. Because I got all the time in the world. I suppose that might have been what those people in Hawaii thought yesterday when they said, take shelter. A bomb's about to go off and you're in its crosshairs. You think they thought, I got all the time in the world? No. You know what they thought? I've got 10 minutes. Now, how much time do you have? How much time do I have? We think we know. But we don't know. We don't. My master is delaying his coming. And he begins to beat his fellow servants. He doesn't treat his fellow servants the way he ought to. He eats and drinks with the drunkards. The master of the servant will come in a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. He's unprepared. He's not ready. And the master will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. He's not going to come and say, oh, servant, you were so good. Come on into heaven anyway. I love you so much. You just come on into heaven with me. No. Jesus said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where's that? That ain't heaven. Amen. Stay ready. Remain faithful. And if you're not faithful, get faithful. You see, are you ready for the judgment day? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready for Jesus to come back and stand before Him and answer to Him for your life with His book opened as the standard by which you will be judged? 1 Thessalonians 5 and beginning in verse 1, the Apostle wrote these Christians, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. Now it's curious to me that Paul tells them, you know, He says, I don't need to write you about these things. And then he proceeds to write to them about these things. Because you know, we say that all the time, don't we? We say, I know what you're talking about. I understand. I know it's going to happen. Don't we? Just be honest with yourself. I'd be honest with myself. We say that, don't we? I know it's going to happen. I know. But then why do we sit and do nothing? If we know it's going to happen, why do we sit and do nothing? Paul's going to persuade us here. Exhort us. God's going to urge us here. You yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. You ladies who've experienced that, you understand that better than us. No escape. Can't turn off that faucet, can you? That's that faucet. You can't turn off that when that starts, can you? See? But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You're all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Now here's the point. First of all, you're ready if you're a Christian because you're a son of light and a son of the day. If you've obeyed the gospel, then you've done something to prepare yourself for the return of Jesus. Your past sins have been forgiven. The Lord added you to His church. The Scripture says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe will be condemned." So you're ready for the judgment day, the day of God's wrath against sin, if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, why aren't you getting ready? It's coming. We've got our early warning system, the Word of God. It's telling us about it. Seek shelter. So why aren't you a Christian? Why haven't you believed and obeyed Him in repenting of your sins and being baptized to be saved, to get prepared? You need to. You must. Or the day will come as a thief in the night. You won't be ready, and it will be destruction. Weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and ever and ever. You're ready for the judgment if you're a watchful Christian. Not just enough to say, "Well, I was baptized sometime in the past, preacher, so talk to somebody else." Look at verse 6 with me. "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Did you get that message? He says, because we're sons of light, because we are Christians, we are not to be sleeping. We are to be watchful. We are to be sober. Free of intoxicants that destroy sound thinking and self-control and good judgment. Because you see, after all, those who sleep, sleep when it's dark. You see, his point is, those who sin, sin in the darkness. Those who get drunk at night. Sin seeks a cover of darkness. We're people of the day. So why would we live in an unprepared state? You know, there's so many people who believe they're serving God religiously, faithfully, honorably, but they pull out the bottle. They drink. They imbibe of the intoxicant that removes sober-mindedness. He says, let's be sober. Sober thinking. It's not just about drinking here. But that's an application. Our thinking is to be sound, with good judgment, with self-control. Why? Because we want to be watchful. You want a sleeping watchman? I said, no, and I don't want one that pushes the wrong button either. We don't want watchmen who go to sleep on the job. So he's telling us as Christians, don't go to sleep on the job. You have a job. Your job is to watch. to be ready to live your life putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Live in the hope of salvation. Be shielded by the hope that you have when Jesus comes. You're ready for the judgment day if you're being watchful. But if you're not being watchful, you just are not ready. And so the Word of God exhorts you to repent, to wake up. Wake up. Come back to God. Be faithful to Him. Be prepared. Verses 9 and 10 says, you're ready for the judgment as you remember why Jesus died. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with Him. Whether we live or die, we'll be with Him. See, God appointed us. God set us, didn't save us so that we could then experience wrath. You see, when He comes in His day of His great day of wrath, He's not coming to want to give that to us. We've been drawn out of that. We've been saved, redeemed from that. He appointed us to obtain salvation when Jesus returns. When Jesus is revealed, we'll have eternal salvation. So, we're ready for the judgment if we keep remembering why Jesus died. That's why Jesus died. He died for us, for our salvation, so that we don't have to go through, so that we don't experience the wrath that is the just punishment of sin. You see, people say, "Oh, God is such a horrible God. If He would bring such wrath upon people, He could never be such a." I just don't want to believe that kind of God. A lot of people think that way, and say they don't believe the Word of God. They don't believe in God. God is a loving God. He sent His Son. He loves you so much, He let His own Son die for you. Don't tell me God doesn't love. But He's also a God of justice. And He punishes sin. He's warned us. He wants us in His Son to escape it. That's what He's appointed us to. As Christians, we've seen that. We've believed that. And we've obeyed His gospel. And He saved us from our past sins. But now, let us continue to remember why Jesus died. That's part of our watchfulness. And see, the prepared people are comforted. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We're ready for the judgment day if we continue to comfort each other in truth and edify, build each other up in the truth, helping each other be sons of light, daughters of light, helping each other be watchful and not sleeping, helping each other remember what we've been appointed to, the salvation that we have in Jesus. Are you ready? Because you see, now is the day of salvation. The day of salvation is now. The day of wrath is coming. But now is the day of salvation. You see the contrast? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 says, "We then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." He's pleading with Christians now. Not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There's a great day of wrath coming, but now is the day of salvation. Now is the day for you and me to acknowledge our sin, to see God's grace, and in faith to obey His gospel, to become a Christian or to be faithful Christians, to repent of the sin that would take us into that very wrath that Jesus saved us from when we first believed and obeyed Him. 2 Peter 3, remember verses 11 through 14. In the midst of that description of the great day of the Lord, that day of wrath when everything's going to burn up, is the promise of a new and promise and expectation of a new hope, a new heaven and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Verse 13. You see, now's the day to be diligently looking forward to Christ's return to the new heaven and new earth, and thereby escape the wrath that will come against sin. Do that by becoming a Christian. Do that by being a watchful Christian. That is being faithful. The faithful Christian knows now's the day to walk in the salvation of God. You see, now is the day to remember that Jesus died to save you. He died to save the whole world, and that means He died to save you. He died for you. And now is the day to be comforted and edified as we look toward the eternal comfort of the new heavens and the new earth. Yes, yesterday was a false alarm for Hawaii. One of the representatives put out on the text or Twitter or something. I guess this was the text. Hawaii, this is a false alarm. There is no incoming missile to Hawaii. I've confirmed with officials there is no incoming missile. False alarm. Whew, boy, dodged the bullet. Let's go back to eating and drinking. Let's go back to not thinking about the fact that we may die, or that we will die. Let's don't think about that today. We'll think about that tomorrow. False alarm. But you see, if this had been the end of the world, there would have been no place to hide. If in fact, you know, if there had been a missile, Hawaii didn't have any place to hide. And when the day of Jesus comes, the day of wrath comes, His return, there's no place to hide. But you see, if you're a Christian, you don't have to hide. Here's the point as we close. This is your warning. This is not a drill. Seek immediate shelter in Christ. It's not a drill. It's truth. It's real. What will you do, having heard the warning? What will you do? Where will you go? Are you ready? Call the gospel is to get ready. Because you see, you just don't know how much time you have. You just don't know. If you're not Christian, you need to become one today. In faith, repent, and be baptized. And then be a faithful disciple of Jesus. Because He'll save you from the wrath to come. If you're a Christian, you've fallen away from Him, return to Him. Repent of every sin. Conform your life to His will in your life. And He'll forgive you. And you will have escaped the wrath to come. Won't you come? Come to Jesus. While together we stand and sing.